Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, as I am preaching through the series that I'm calling Life, Resurrection, and the Pursuit of Holiness. We are still in the spirit of Easter. The resurrection power of God is at work in us. I don't know how long I'm going to be preaching on the pursuit of holiness. I just know that it's exciting to preach about this, and it's needed for the church today in general, because God wants to do amazing things through His people as He gets a hold of us, and we grab a hold of Him and live in the power of the resurrection that is still at work in the world today. God demonstrated His power that very first Easter by raising Jesus from the dead. That's pretty incredible power. But that same power is available to the church today if we just seize hold of it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. These are the words of a seasoned apostle Paul to a younger protege named Timothy, and words that are just as important for us today as they were in the first century when Paul wrote these words to a young Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you do anything at all this week and you grow closer to God, that is great gain. You've made great strides. Get closer to God. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, or we can even say woman of God, or teenager of God, or child of God, flee from all this and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Do you remember back when you were in grade school and maybe in recess time, you used to pick teams, you know, when you played kickball or baseball? I know when I was in grade school, we would all go down to the field and we would pick two captains, and the rest of us would line up against the fence, and the two captains would take turns picking who they wanted on their team. You remember those days? I try not to think about those days because my athletic prowess was not as quite developed as it is today, and so I wasn't always picked first. But I loved to be one of the captains because I got to choose who I wanted on my team. And everybody wanted Frank Barnes on their team, and so did I. Now, Frank was bigger than the rest of us. He was faster, and he was athletic. And there was a couple times that I was able to pick Frank Barnes. And sure enough, if I picked Frank, our team always won. If the other captain picked Frank, our team lost. This is a big week for those of you who are diehard football fans. The NFL draft starts this Thursday. I don't pay much attention to the draft, but my boys do. My oldest son, before he left for the Army, he took the draft very, very seriously. He still does. He actually texted me this week about who the Broncos are going to pick and things like that. But if you're not familiar with the NFL draft, it kind of goes like this. You have all these teams, and it is their choice to get to choose and pick who they want on their team. And, of course, they are going to do whatever it takes to pick the player that they want on their team. And maybe you've seen these college players are sitting at home with their family, and when their name gets announced, they get all excited, and they jump up, and they're excited, and their family is excited. Unless you're picked by the Jets. No one gets excited to be picked by the Jets. But it's the NFL draft, and teams are going to do whatever they can to intentionally choose and pick the player they want for their team. This is not a cliche, although sometimes I think in the evangelical world we use it as a cliche. But I'm saying this to you today not as a cliche, but as a biblical truth. God has chosen and picked you to be on his team. It's not a cute little saying. It's not a little meme that's floating around on the internet. This is a biblical truth. God handpicked and chose you, whether you feel like you're qualified or not. He chose you to be on his team. It's very clear in John 15:16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God sees something in you that maybe you don't even see in yourself. And in his divine draft, he's picking you. And he's saying, "Tim, I need you on my team. Because my team isn't complete without you." He's saying, "Dustin, I'm picking you. I need you on my team. Sue, before you were even born, I'm choosing you to be on my team. Gene, I need you on my team." I could go on and on with the rest of you. God chose you and me because he needs us on his team. Now, the question is, are we going to show up? I mean, some college player can be picked by the Cincinnati Bengals, but he's got to show up for training practice now. And he's got to learn the playbook, and he's got to show up for the games. They picked him, and now he has to put in the work and do his part. God is relentlessly pursuing you. And here's the mind-boggling thing. God is relentlessly pursuing every single person on this planet. That's the salvation plan of God. Salvation is not now just for the Jews, but God has now opened it up to the Gentiles. That's us. And God is relentlessly pursuing every single person in the world. That kind of makes evangelism for us easy. When I go to talk to someone about Jesus, or if you get up the nerve to talk to someone about your faith, you can rest in the fact that God is already working in that person's life long before I ever even said a word. We call this prevenient grace. Prevenient means God has gone before us and has extended his grace. God is working in every person's heart and life and circumstances, whether they recognize it or not. God is actively trying to seek out people and draw people to himself long before people even sought him out. This is the unrelenting love of God that we've been talking about. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son into the world to seek us out and to reconcile a broken humanity back to himself. God is relentlessly pursuing all people. I wish I could convey to you just how important this is to God. This actively seeking people to himself. There's no words, there's no illustration I could share. I wish I could adequately convey to you just how desperately God is seeking to draw people to himself. We know that sin has separated humanity from God, but God doesn't give up on us. He's seeking by his divine grace to draw people to himself. I think the closest I can convey to you of just how important this is in Luke chapter 15, because in Luke chapter 15 we have three stories, boom, 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 one right after the other, that talk about the lostness of coins and sheep and a son. The whole point in Luke chapter 15, when we talk about the lost sheep, you remember that story, when Jesus talked about if one of you had 100 sheep and you lose one of them, are you not going to leave the 99 and desperately pursue the one that has wandered off? And then he goes on and he talks about the parable of the lost coin. Say a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Isn't she going to sweep the house and turn everything over until she finds that lost coin? And then there's the parable of the lost son who left home and after a whole series of events decided to come back to the father. Spend some time this afternoon reading Luke chapter 15. It conveys just how dire God is in seeking to draw lost people to himself. This is the very heart of God. It's his love, it's his grace that seeks to draw people to himself. Today's kind of a special day for me personally. I started at this church 19 years ago this Sunday. And in the last 19 years, I've seen a lot of things in this community and in this church. I've seen wonderful things happen in our church. I've seen people set free and people healed. I've seen people come to know God and grow in God. But I've also seen where even as God is trying to draw people to himself, I've seen where people can resist that. And instead of choosing God, they choose other things. I've seen people pursue other churches. Not necessarily God, but pursue other churches. I've seen people pursue other people. Not necessarily pursuing God, but pursuing other people. I've seen people pursuing the ways of the world. Obviously not pursuing God. I've seen people pursuing the ways of the flesh. And we see that happen all around us. We have ceased being a Christian nation, and we are now a secular nation because more people are pursuing the things of the world rather than pursuing the things of God, who God is seeking to draw to himself. There was a time in our nation, and even in this community, where there were more people seeking God because God was first seeking them than they were seeking the world. Europe used to be a very Christian nation, and now it is quite secular. We see the same thing happening in the United States. And so there's been this seismic shift in our culture. But that does not mean that God has stopped seeking to draw people to himself. We must be sensitive to the moving of God's Spirit as he seeks to draw and pursue those who have wandered away from him. The question is, are we going to do our part to run after God and respond to God's grace? As we pursue God, as we pursue holiness, there's some math involved. Yeah, I'm not very good at math. Some of you are really, really good at math. You've got computers in your brain, and I envy that. But I was never good at math. I never saw the value in algebra. Okay, don't jump all over my case. I'm sure there's some value to algebra. But when we talk about pursuing God or responding to God's grace as he is pursuing us, there is math involved. We even see that here in our passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. The first part of the math equation is this: but you, O man or woman or child or teenager of God, flee from all this. And all this is the stuff that came prior: the love of money, the ways of the world, on and on and on. Flee from all this. That's the subtraction part. If we're going to pursue God, we have to subtract from our lives, from our hearts, from our ambitions, the things that are not of God. Flee from all this. Escape from all of it. Run away from all of it. It's the same Greek word used in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, when the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the new baby Jesus and his mother and escape to Egypt. Flee to Egypt." Why? Because your lives are in danger. Herod wants to kill this new baby. Flee, escape, run away to Egypt. And so when the Bible uses this word flee, it's for our good. When Paul tells Timothy here, flee from all this, it's for our good. Because if we get caught up in it, it will be our demise. And so as we pursue God, we must subtract from our lives, flee, escape, run away from these things that can ensnare us and bring us down. That's the subtraction part. Let me give you just a couple of other examples. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, as we do more holiness math here. Therefore, rid yourselves, there's more math, subtract from your lives all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. It's time to do some math. Subtract from your lives. If we're going to respond to God's grace as He's pursuing us, we must get rid of, flee from these things. The other example is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves. There's more subtraction. Just get rid of it. Rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. You got to get rid of these things. God is pursuing you. He's chosen you. He wants you on His team. But now in response to God, in pursuing Him, we've got to get rid of this stuff. Why? Because it's good for us. It's for our safety. It's for our good. It's for our development. It's for our growth in Christ. What do you need to subtract from your life today? If you're serious about pursuing God, what do you need to eliminate, get rid of, and flee from to respond to God pursuing you? One more, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. That's the ultimate subtraction right there. To get rid of the sinful nature and all its passions and desires, those things must be crucified, done away with for good. There's a reason why in the Bible there are these thou shalt not, right? Don't do these things. They're not good for you. They will hinder you in your ability to be able to grow in godliness and righteousness and in the ways of God. So that's the subtraction part. Here's the addition part. So let's go back to 1 Timothy 6:11. And then we'll go back to all these other verses that we looked at, and we'll see how the Bible asks us to subtract, but then add. Because once we eliminate those things that have no business in our lives, there is addition that God wants to make. But you, O man, or woman, or child, or teenager of God, flee from all this. And here's the addition part. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Subtract all the ugliness. Crucify the sinful nature. Get rid of it. It's over. It's done with. It's put to death. And now add to your life as you pursue God, as you respond to God. Add to your life righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Let's go back to those three scripture passages that asked us to flee, get rid of, crucify, do some subtraction, and let's see what those scripture passages ask us to add in its stead. So if we go back to 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And now here's the addition part. Like newborn babies, crave. Add to your diet pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen? Do some subtraction. Get rid of these things that hinder you and now add to your life, to your spiritual disciplines, to your heart. Add these things to your life like newborn babies, spiritual milk, the things of God. And then from spiritual milk, God will add more nutrition and you'll be able to chew on the meat of God. That's the addition part. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:8. Now get rid of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And if you go down to verse 12, this is what we are to add now to our lives. Once we've done some subtraction, this is what we add. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Add to your lives compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then let's go to that Galatians 5 passage again. Galatians 5. Because here in Galatians 5, he's pretty emphatic where he talks about the desires of the sinful nature, the acts of the sinful nature in verse 19, impurity, sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Get rid of those things, he says. There needs to be some big time subtraction in your life. But now, add to your life these things as we pursue God. The fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22 of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So Paul says here to a young Timothy, as we go back to 1 Timothy 6:11, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. Pursue holiness. Pursue godliness. The Greek word here, pursue, has with it this emphasis of pursue these things like it matters. There needs to be some oomph in this pursuit. You're going to have to take the initiative here and really run after these things. God has diligently pursued you. And in the same way, now none of us will be able to get to the level of pursuing God in the way that He pursues us, but yet we should try. We should pursue God with some oomph, with some, you know, this really matters behind it. Because when God pursued us, it really mattered to Him. This coming June, Eugene is going to be in the world spotlight as we are finally going to host the Olympic trials, and world-class athletes from all over the globe are going to descend upon Eugene for a couple weeks in June for a chance to make it to the Olympics, which start in July in Tokyo. It's going to be quite the spectacle. We'll see if they can actually pull it off with all the COVID and all that stuff that's going on. But these athletes have been training their whole life. They are in pursuit of a goal, and that is recognition in their sport. It's a medal, and hopefully it's the gold medal. It's amazing what the human body can do when you are so focused and determined. The Apostle Paul uses similar language and other places in the Bible in that even as an athlete will train and devote themselves and discipline themselves to such an extreme as to win the prize, how much more should we pursue godliness and righteousness and holiness? Because These things are of eternal significance. How much more should we run the spiritual race with laser focus and clarity and intention and embrace and pursue the things of God? How much more should we do that than an Olympic athlete will seek to win that gold medal? 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Pursue God with such devotion and intensity that you're going to win the race and get the prize. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There's that subtraction again. Get rid of all these things that tie us down and trip us up and hinder us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then there's a sad verse here that I want to end with in Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 again, verse 7. You were running a good race, past tense. It's easy to maybe start the race, but at some point we can stop running the race. He says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? In other words, you were running the good race and then somebody came in and maybe cut you off, discouraged you, upset you. Maybe you got distracted and you stopped running the race. You were running the race. You used to run the race, but now you've gotten off track. What happened to that determination that you had to pursue God with everything? I want to say to you, get back up and start running the race again. Pursue God.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.